You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On today's show, we're going to be talking about so many different things. We're going to talk about Rafa Benitez in the first segment. He's been sacked. Who's taking his place? A guy named Zizou. Do you know him? I know I do. I know there's a gentleman on the old Italian team who certainly knows who he is. We'll be talking about a lot. We'll be talking about Pep Guardiola, Mourinho, LVG. In the second segment, we'll be talking about EPL. Arsenal's at the top. Everton versus Tottenham. Leicester City. Where are they going to end up? Who's having surgery on what part of their body? And then in the third segment, we're going to be talking about Jordan Morris. What is he doing? If you don't know who he is, stick around and listen. You might either love him and or hate him or be indifferent, which is perfectly fine. We are the Cooligans. My name is Alexis. You're not hearing Christian because he's in the bathroom taking a poop. This is the Cooligans.
Hi, this is Kyrie Shelton from New York City FC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Hi, I'm RJ Allen for New York City Football Club, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Ian Joy, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Well, first episode of the new year, huh?
Yeah, exciting.
Yeah, you guys are listening to the Cooligans. Obviously, I'm Alexis.
I am Christian.
Yeah,
why is it obvious?
Well, obvious because I have the, I think, manlier voice, I want to say.
Wow, of all words you could have chosen.
Maybe part of my head was like, say deeper voice, and then the apartment will go, goes, say what you want to say.
go with your heart, you know?
You know, you posted that photo of you on stage with your NYCFC founding member.
Uh-huh.
And I just looked at that and I go, he's too fucking pretty. You know? I said that. I said that like out loud too. D was in the room. My wife is in the room. And I was like, he's just too fucking pretty for this shit.
Pretty just for like for just being an entertainer?
I don't know. No, not for being an entertainer. No, you're
just
gonna,
for existing.
Yeah, you're just to be doing stuff with me. No, you're perfect. A hilarious comic. If you haven't seen Christian perform live, I suggest you do it. Or you could buy your special, right? You can buy your special
That's
on your
right,
website.
Yeah, ChristianPolanco.com. Yeah, it's called Likeable. I'm going to change it to too fucking pretty.
Too fucking pretty. And spell it like you would if it was a 90s rap album. The letter two, no space, fucking with F-U-K-K-I-N, and pretty.
Yeah.
I don't know. Put an eight somewhere in there if you can. Well, anyway, how was your New Year's?
My New Year's was great. I just want to say, I would say you have the more gravelly voice.
Gravelly.
You have a gravelly voice.
You think so?
Alexis, yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
That makes me sound like the head of the A-team for some reason. I feel like I'm wearing a leather glove and smoking a cigar when you say that.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, that's not, and you know, that comes with having a masculine voice, but it is.
You're like, it's a feature of. I'm just not going to give you the benefit of saying you have a, we'll let the fans decide.
You know, I don't want, my ego won't allow me to just let you have that you just have the manlier voice.
Fair enough.
My voice, you know, it has its ranges. You know, it goes up and down.
I think it also has a very nice tone to it. So I don't want you to think that I'm just diminishing your voice in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
I just think mine sounds more like someone who, like, you know, drinks scotch and
oh yeah,
smokes cigars.
I would say so. Yeah, somebody who's and really yours... put their body through a lot of torment. You know.
Yeah, you could say that. Whoa!
Yeah, that's right.
Body. We could have said voice.
I hear the experience in your voice, in your vocal cords.
You can hear the countless amounts of chicken parm sandwiches.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Do people ever think you smoke?
So this is the end of our podcast.
Has anyone ever said that? Do you smoke? Like, do they ask you that?
People ask me if I smoke? No. Yeah. Why? Do I sound like I smoke?
Maybe. A little. Maybe.
I think, you know, what's funny? When I smoke cigars, I get like, you know how you hear yourself in a much more nasally tone than what you really are?
Yeah, yeah.
When I smoke, I hear myself the way I normally sound. Like when I listen to back to like podcasts or like shows that I've done.
Okay.
So I can only imagine how I sound to everyone else. It's like, hey, everybody, you know.
No, it's not bad. I mean, there are some, like, you know who has a very, very gravelly voice? Sherrod Small. If you ever listen to the Race Wars podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's very hard to listen to. It hits the bass.
It's just, yeah. It's like you really, I mean, he's funny.
Yeah.
But it's just like, wow.
He's
when
also
it's in your
loud.
Headphones, it's like, it's not even the loudness.
No, but he's mega loud.
Sure, he's
loud. You know, so like it hits even harder.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love how different him and because Kurt's like never going to yell unless he's upset.
Yeah.
You know?
You're the Sherrod.
And Sherrod
you're
yells.
You're the Sherrod of the show, you know.
Great. So I'm here to incite. I'm not here to give any detail. If you guys haven't listened to Race Wars, don't do it because there's a billion other people doing it. So yeah. Who needs you? Continue to listen to us.
Yeah, listen to us. Tell people to listen to us.
Yeah, we're Soccer Wars. We're totally different than Race Wars.
Yeah, I mean, during some soccer games in Europe, there are race wars.
Yeah.
Which we don't agree with.
We do not want to happen. We want to go on record saying the soccer hooligans here are completely against race wars, regardless of how the strikers on Stoke City look or last names they may have. Anyway, how was your New Year's?
My New Year's was good. I did a show, and that was...
Oh, there was a show there? I know you went to our friend's place, right? You went to V-Spot?
I went to V-Spot. No, but before that, I went after midnight, so at the Experiment Comedy Gallery, where that photo that you saw of me wearing the NYCFC
bringing in the New Year
wristband,
as a fan.
So there was a photographer that took that photo, Hunter Perez. Very nice photo.
Very good photographer.
Made me look very, very pretty.
Yeah, he's really pushing into the scene here. I see a lot of his photos popping
up. Yeah, he's a good dude. He took photos of
and if you want to see Hunter Press's photos, just go to dshoots.com. shoots shoots.
Yeah, great. All Hunter's photos are there. They are.
You may be confused, but just trust me. Keep going at dshoots.com.
He took photos of all the comedians outside, and it was really cold on New Year's, and it was fun and everything. My girlfriend was there,
yeah,
so the photos looked really good, and a couple comics came up to me at later on at shows. They were like, "Hey, are you engaged?" I'm like, no. Why in the world would you think I was engaged?
They're like, no. Why? What have you heard?
that's exactly what I was. Yeah, like, who is spreading dirty, filthy rumors?
Who's putting these rumors? Did you speak to her? Did you speak to her? Did she say that? Oh my God! Why are the walls closing in?
But my girlfriend was there, and he was taking photos of both of us in the street.
They did look very set up. Like you hired a photographer to take photos.
Exactly. Yeah, and
which
it
typically happens when you get engaged or you're having a baby or
correct,
something.
Correct. Yeah. He had a flash in the middle, we're in the middle of the street. Where he's taking these photos,
right?
And the that building in Williamsburg, that I don't even know what building it is. It's by the Williamsburg Bridge.
It's right on the water.
It's really well lit. It's really nice looking whatever.
It's a modern building.
That was in the backdrop, so people were like, "Hey, are you engaged?" And I'm like, God damn, Hunter.
Come on, man. you're ruining things for me.
Taking my damn wedding photos. Like trying to get married.
I can picture how nervous you must have been when someone said the word engaged. You're looking engaged what?
Yeah. It was shocking.
Well, how was the show though?
Good? The show was great. The show was really fun. There were 40 people that showed up two comics in. I don't know what they were, so before midnight, but they just showed up and they were like, "Hey, we heard about the show," and the place was packed.
That's great. Great. Cool little venue out there. What is that, on Wythe or Kent?
It's on Broadway.
Oh, it's on Broadway
and Kent, basically on the corner. Oh,
okay, there you go. So yeah, if you guys get a chance, check it out. It was started by two comics, and they're trying to put on a bunch of cool shows out there. So go out and support the Comedy and Experiment Gallery. I'm having my first show there in a little bit. I just got booked on a show there, so haven't checked out the venue, but I've seen a lot of photos. Wonderful.
Yeah, you'll have a great time.
Yeah, my New Year's was a little bit less entertaining. People already know.
Okay, well,
I'm married.
Let's not talk about it then.
People know I'm married already, so I don't have any of those fears if people see photos of me.
Yeah, you live your nightmare every day.
Yeah, mine's perfectly fine. Yours, your walls are closing in. I hear baby, that's when my wall. If someone's like, "Hey, that nephew, is that your baby? What? Who's it?"
Yeah.
Get him out of here. My wife was sick, so we ended up just staying. I got a chance. I got offered to perform in Times Square, and it was really good money, too.
Mm-hmm.
But Times Square, they close at 3 p.m., so you have to be there literally until after midnight.
Oh, that would have been crazy.
So they started doing shows starting at 4 p.m. So I would have done maybe 5 shows all night, which I would not care about. I love performing. 5 shows in a night is actually a typical goal of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem. My wife is sitting there doing nothing, hanging out with strangers in Times Square. I mean, she'd want to be with me when the ball drops. We'd be able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're stuck in a building in Times Square. It's not a lot of fun, you know? It's not like there's food or anything, you know? It would have been bad. So I said no. And plus, my wife was kind of sick anyway, so we just hung out at home. I set an alarm on my phone because we don't even have cable anymore. We got rid of the cable because we don't watch it, you know what I mean?
How do you feel about this? Because this was the first time I did a show on New Year's, and I did feel bad about... basically forcing my girlfriend to go to a comedy show on New Year's.
Right.
I can't imagine. That doesn't seem like a pleasant experience as like the girlfriend of the performer.
No, I will say this, like, take the fact that you had her there while mm-hmm. you were performing and watching you perform, and then also how you reacted to the thought of you being engaged, and add those two together. And I think when you do, you can start to see the signals you're sending out to this wonderful, wonderful woman.
No, but those signals are of me like feeling bad that yeah. I'm putting this person through.
I actually saw photos of you end up at our buddy's place, V Spot, which yeah. is on what, Fifth Ave, right? Out there?
Oh, no. The V Spot opened on St. Mark's in Manhattan.
Oh, you were in Manhattan for
Yeah,
that
was the Manhattan.
I thought you stayed in Brooklyn. All right, so you were in. Was Carabano there?
Yeah, he was there.
So he was at. There's one on St. Mark's. There's one
in Park Slope.
There's one in Park Slope, and now there's one at New York Comedy Club. They have a cafe, vegan Latin food. Trust me, I've eaten it and I've enjoyed it, and I'm very anti-vegan food.
For no reason.
Yeah, no, for the reason that we don't need it. I think we had food. I don't understand why we have to throw the word vegan in front of it. He tricked me into eating one of the empanadas and it was awesome. And I'm like, dude, what is that? Because it doesn't taste like meat. He's like, it's not meat. And I'm like, you got me. This is one of your empanadas, isn't it?
And then you just got into the fetal position and just, why did you do that to me?
You know what I did is I called my friends and I said, I'm out of the group because I ate vegan. I returned my patches. I did everything I was supposed to do. But long story short, I mean, great, great food. I just assumed you were there because your girl's vegan, right?
She is.
So I was like, oh, look at that. He's doing something for her. And now, hearing what's happened, it's the exact opposite.
No. So
I was like, look at that. He sacrificed his New Year's for her.
Well, that was the
bind. You're gonna watch me perform.
Well, that was the bind I felt like I was in as a comedian. I'm like, well, I need to do shows, and it was like a paid gig and all that stuff. So I want to do the show, and you know, and it's difficult to turn down spots, especially paid ones.
Yeah.
I felt like there was that compromise. Like I got to do the show, and then we got to hang out the party was great at a vegan spot. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a little for you, a little for me.
A little for you, and we're both miserable.
You got your taste. Anyway, so much has happened since the new year, especially in soccer.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest news is something that, you know, a lot of people said they didn't see coming. How could you not? You know, no one was happy. Rafa Benitez sacked as the manager / coach of Real Madrid, gone.
Yeah. This is, you know, I don't follow La Liga as closely as, you know, MLS or Premier League. So to me, this seems very strange, given that Real Madrid is not, they don't seem to be playing poorly. They're not in first, but it seems like the standard is you're either first or second, or you're not going to keep your job.
Well, it's also like it's first, second, and win big against Barca, you know?
Yeah, and they lost huge.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, as silly as it sounds, because if they had beaten Barca by, let's say, 7-2, and they were in fourth place, he'd still lose his job. They would just feel a little better about him. You know what I mean?
So is it really just, is it mostly ego?
I don't know that it's ego.
With the top clubs?
It's not ego. Like, the way La Liga is set up is they make so much of the revenue. Like, it's percentage based on who you are. So Real Madrid and Barcelona make so much more of the TV rights revenue than anyone else does. Like, they just have more. Part of it is because they have their own, but part of it is just, like, they're much bigger clubs. So in order to keep all of that money coming in order for them to continue to sign big, big name players, now that I got, you know, FIFA for Christmas, I've been playing, you know, a little bit as Arsenal sometimes. And when you do, the reason that annoys me is because you end up playing Barca or Real Madrid almost every time. And when you play against Real Madrid, you really see how there's a big name at every position. Like, you know, there's no relaxing whatsoever. You know, I mean, as much as Barcelona is similar, when it's not at the first, you know, at the front three, you're a little better off. You know what I mean? Because you got, you know, Neymar, and you got your Messi, and you got your Suarez. Like, you know, behind them, Iniesta is a bit of a problem. Pique, sure. But I mean, you've got a chance to try to cover some ground. Against Real Madrid, it's just big names across the board. That's a lot of money. That's big wages. Their reserve benches are all big names. These are all players that would start everywhere else. In order to keep that going, you have to be top of the league. It's kind of boring. Like, it's kind of boring being, like, a fan of Bayern Munich because everything seems to work out right for them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, this is what makes it exciting to be a Real Madrid fan, is that shit's always hitting the fan. No matter what you do, like, even if you're winning, even if they were top of the league, they're still, like, you know, Mourinho would go watch one of the matches. Oh, my God, coming back?
Or maybe you wouldn't receive a fax and get kicked out of a tournament.
Yeah. Maybe.
Ooh, that would be a great plot twist.
Yeah, or maybe you don't receive a fax and you don't get to buy De Gea, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the facts is not the issue anymore. I think Rafa Benitez has got the facts this time. Whoever's working at the fax machine, you really listen to the Cooligans on that one. It just seems to me like there's always something going on there. And there's, you know, to some degree, it's like kind of pointless to be a Real Madrid fan because you kind of know what's going to happen. And I'm saying that knowing that I'm a Yankees fan, although we didn't make the playoffs this year. But, you know, it's you know what's going to happen because they're never going to go down. They're never going to be relegated. They're always going to be this massive team.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where it adds a little bit of excitement. Like, Barcelona is a bit more consistent, a bit more placid water. You know, this is white water. No matter what's happening, it's always tumultuous.
Yeah,
you know,
so, yeah.
Florentino Perez has been president for 12 years. This is his 11th coach that he's hired. What is going on?
But it, to some degree, it does translate to some victories. I mean, Real Madrid has won the league a couple times.
I mean, to some degree, you probably don't even really need a manager. You could put, you know, you could put a bag of boots there, and you'll be fine. I mean, you have enough players on the field that are like on the pitch that are like, hey, we know what we're doing.
It does seem strange given that they're 4 points out of first. And
now you fire
and
your
and now
man-
you fire your manager.
What more do you want?
Where's the? I don't sense the urgency yet. You know.
Yeah. And the thing is that, like, you know, Rafa Benitez has been putting players out of position. He's been swapping a lot of the backs. There's so much stuff that he's doing that annoys everyone. Here's the thing, though. You hired him to be your manager. Stop listening to the fans.
Yeah.
Who cares if the players are bitching? You know. And mind you, if this was happening on my club, I'd be flipping out just as bad. But like to some degree, it's like let the guy. I mean, you didn't. Who thought this was going to be a smart hire? He didn't succeed the first time anywhere else he goes. He was terrible at Chelsea. He was doing fine in Serie A. Leave him in Italy.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going to go back. I guarantee he's going to go back to Italy. He was doing great.
Well, you know, after you lose 4-0 to your biggest rival.
Probably the only important match.
You would think the manager is going to be like, let me tinker a bit because I'm like really embarrassed.
yeah. Let's play around a little bit. For some reason, all of the newspapers around the world are taking this game seriously. It seems like I've done something pretty bad here. I opened up Twitter. People in other languages are talking about me badly. Like, imagine you
did that. I can't even read Korean, but they're really, I can tell they're mad.
I hit the translate button. Not happy I did. People should have some more respect. Could you imagine if you, like, just messed up, like, a sandwich, and all of a sudden people were, like, flipping out in other countries?
I didn't realize my job was so important.
Yeah, or, like, imagine you were up on stage and you just bombed one night, you know? And yeah, it happens to all of us, you more than me, probably. Imagine your bomber, a new joke didn't hit. Everything else was fine. One new joke didn't hit, right? And all of a sudden, people on Twitter, tippity-tappity away, just talking about that one joke that didn't hit. It would kill you.
Yeah, it would be very, it would affect my psyche quite a bit. Yeah.
And I want to reiterate that I have the confidence and the overwhelming, and some people would say naivety or lack of self-doubt, self-awareness, but nonetheless, I have the confidence that who cares what people think. But I think it would be tough if I couldn't do anything, turn on the TV, read a newspaper.
No.
Open up Twitter, Facebook, anything.
Yeah.
Even your friends would be like, dude, tough one, huh? Like, yeah, I get it. All right. Yeah, I get it.
It's weirder given that, he wasn't so bad.
No, I mean.
That's like it seems like the standard of success is so high.
Yeah.
And I mean, we saw it at Chelsea, you know.
That's a different story. I mean, if Mourinho was 4 points off top, even if he was 4 points out of the top four,
but even
he'd be fine.
Even winning the league the prior season was not enough to be like, let's give him a little bit of a chance.
He did. Two or three points outside of the relegation.
Yeah.
Come on, that's more than enough. I'm sorry.
The leash was long.
Yeah, that's enough. Like, I don't even know how to explain. Like, you know, you had players like, obviously trying to get him. Now it's all come out that Cesc Fabregas and other players were trying to get him off the club, and we're really tanking on purpose. You know, I mean, you got to get either you get rid of the players or you get rid of him in that situation.
You know what this makes me realize or makes me at least feel in that this is the first time I'm really focusing on every aspect of soccer.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel like players are just a bunch of babies.
Yeah, gone are the innocent days, huh, Christian? Now we're really getting into
it. Listen to your, you know, the authoritative figure telling you what to do. Stop complaining. There's two things. Sometimes I think they're a bunch of babies.
Yeah.
And then also, the club's manager has such a direct influence on the chemistry between the relationship he has with the players, with the relationship that the players have with amongst themselves.
Yeah.
So it's the job is so much more than I probably initially thought.
Yeah.
And
what do you think it was? Just hanging out in a hammock? I mean, this is a lot of responsibility. No,
you know what? Well, this is
look at how Jason Christ was treated. And I, you know, look, I've not been the warmest guy when it comes to this. I'm pretty cold when it comes to this. So I was like, well, good for him from what we heard, which people did not like on Twitter. You know, from what we heard and things we heard and seems like things that have come out afterwards, he was treated pretty cold by, you know, Manchester City or City Football Group and fired. And we were all like, good, good. And a lot of people were like, oh, that's bad. That's bad. Look at what, I mean, this is at a much higher level. These are 100-year-old clubs. Mm-hmm. These are clubs that have laid out billions more than our entire league has ever laid out just to stay at the top. Like, that's, you know, it's a lot of response. You have a lot of, have a lot of responsibility, for the lack of a better term.
I think, you know, probably for a long time, I thought that the what made a club great, what made any team just exceptional was mostly its players. So given, like, you know, I used to focus so much on like great players, Ronaldinho and all the impressive things that they could do.
Right.
And I thought that meant more to a club's success than, you know, the strategy
or the system, the tactics.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think what I found out when I played it a lot more was there was a player that was really good, but he was mostly fast. And, you know, at youth levels, when one person, especially in America, when one player is faster than everyone else, they're like, here's what we do. Put him out wide, toss him the ball long. He goes and chases it. We score one-on-one against the goalkeeper. We had a Costa Rican coach who was like, No, you guys are going to learn how to play with your feet, you know? And we're like, yeah, no, here's how we play with our feet. We send it long. Steve goes out, kicks it in the goal. We celebrate. We get pizza party. Yeah. Come on. What are we talking about here, right? We go to a Rodizio place sometimes. A couple smoked meats come around. It's really fun. You know, don't ruin this for us by teaching us how to play the game. And he was like, no, we're gonna sit him behind the striker. So now he has to sort of figure out. And for the first few matches, we were terrible because we didn't have this one outlet. Yeah. So what I'm finding is it's not so much, it's like the seasoning. You know, if you put rosemary on at the end versus in the beginning, it could completely change the flavor of your sauce. You know what I mean? Or whatever it is you're cooking with it. You know, it's when it's like you have the best ingredients, you have to know how to turn that into a meal. That's what a manager does. That's what a coach does.
Yeah.
And I think American teams, for some reason, talking so much, especially American football and basketball, we talk so much more about tactics until you get to someone like a Pep Guardiola, which has like a specific system, or Mourinho, which has a very antiquated but seems to work specific system. Everyone else is like, what are you gonna do? You know, like someone like a Rafa Benitez, the one thing we all knew he was gonna do was mess with people's positions, and he did it, and it didn't work well. But what did you think was gonna happen? You know, this is what he's done everywhere he's been. So
why doesn't everyone just take Pep's system?
I mean,
because in the NFL, they mimic each other.
West Coast offense? Everyone does. Is that what they won the Super Bowl? we going to do that too.
It's a copycat league.
Yeah.
So you would think that would happen a bit more often, but I guess it doesn't really translate.
I mean, you have to have the players that know how to play in that system.
Yeah.
You know, when you have soccer or something, you learn from a youth all the way up in a certain kind. But you have teams like Arsenal, that which kind of play a lighter version of tiki-taka. And then you have other things. You know, you have teams that come out, you know, playing the way Bayern Munich does, which is kind of a version of tiki-taka, a lot of short, you know, players staying in their position and then moving the ball up for. And then you have guys, you know, they're gegenpressing or you know, the guy who was the old Red Bull Salzburg coach, who I believe he's Bayer or Mönchengladbach's manager now. I can't remember.
That was the worst pronunciation of that.
Yeah. Well, people know what I'm talking about. It's the sauce. The Worcestershire sauce. Worcestershire sauce. Anyway.
Mönchengladbach.
I believe that's where he's at now. I could be wrong. I mean, he might be he's at Bayer Leverkusen. And he plays like, you know, gegenpressing is that constant pressing with all your players, whoever has the ball. He plays what they call that on steroids. Like, it's so much so, like, that is harder to play tiki-taka because now you're forcing them to kick the ball long, which they don't like to do because they have to get the ball off their feet quick because there's like 18 players coming at them. I don't know, where's that? Is that possible? But like, so there's other systems that counteract those. So it's like, why doesn't everyone play that? Because there's enough systems across the board that you like, you know, it's like everything is cyclical. Like 4-4-2 is going to start coming back into you know, hip now. It's going to become hip now. So it's like constant changing.
I say, every time I go to Williamsburg, all the hipsters are always like 4-4-2. I'm like, come on, guys.
Is that the name of your band? Your chug band?
I would not be surprised if there's a band named 442.
There was a band named Yellow Card, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So
yeah.
There will be a 442 at any point.
No doubt.
Listen, guys.
Well, you know what? Before we end the segment, I just want to say to another coach that is no longer with us. I mean, you know, I mean, he's alive. But,
yeah, you said in memoriam? In memoriam? What is it? I don't know it.
In memoriam. Tom Coughlin. Resigned from the Giants.
Well, he was going to get fired.
He was probably going to get fired. Yeah.
And way to go out like a champ.
Yeah.
He's like, a tough old man.
Me? I quit. Yeah.
I'm going to have the longest concession. I'm going to have the longest conference speech of all time. 18 minutes. I couldn't watch the video. Listen, I'm a Giants fan. I got 2 Super Bowls out of it, but I've wanted him gone since the first day he got hired.
Wow.
I've only liked him. I've only liked him for 2 days.
I thought this was going to be a sweet little
Not at all.
Going
Sorry.
Away.
I like the guy, but it's, you know, he's a predictable system. He's done wonderful things for Eli Manning. Eli Manning, obviously, you won 2 Super Bowl MVPs with the guy. I've only liked Tom Coughlin on 2 days, and those are the 2 days he won the Super Bowl. And he beat the Patriots, which is always fun to watch. So look, God, good riddance. God, you know, hopefully we get someone better, because if not, I'm going to hear from every Giants fan. Like, Paul Verzi gives me shit for this all the time. I get it. I'm not an Eli guy. I like Eli a lot more than Coughlin. I'd rather keep Eli and lose Coughlin, which is what we did. Boom, done. We talk about every football. We're going to talk about Aussie rules football soon, rugby football.
I just like to say, Tom, we're going to miss you, man. You've given me 2 of the best days of my life, those Super Bowls, great seasons. You know, it's been, you know, a couple rough last few years.
I'm going to edit this part out.
You know, you tried, you mixed up the offense, Ben McAdoo, you brought him in. It's a good, you left a good foundation for the future. Thanks, man.
Okay. Go Giants, I guess. Go NYCFC, go Giants. We'll be right back after this break, and we got a lot more show in store for you, so listen in.
Wants to thank the club, thank the president for giving him the opportunity to train this club. It's the best club in the world, with the best fan base in the world.
Intentar hacer lo mejor posible para que este equipo al final de año gane algo.
And he wants to do his very best to ensure that this club at the end of the season will have a trophy.
All right, we're talking a little EPL.
We are.
Yeah, way to bring it in.
It was you know, whatever. Let's just hurry up and get the segment over.
Oh, well, look, I mean, you know, all right, fine. You're an Everton fan, all right? And tough match, but one of the more exciting matches I've seen.
You know what?
How hard was it? Let's be honest. I mean, were you able to look at it unbiasedly and go, as a fan of soccer, this is what you want to see? As a fan of Everton, this is not what you want to see.
You know what? I've been getting a little self-conscious during the podcast, right? Because the last few weeks, I've been just, you know, expressing my frustration and anger about Everton. And I don't want the podcast to be Christian complaining about Everton.
This is soccer. It's the only time you don't complain is after you've won
the league.
And then you have like a 2-week window where you're allowed to do that. And okay. It's right back to complaining.
All right. So I'm fitting in quite nicely.
Yeah, no,
though.
you're as if you've been doing it all your life.
But the level of frustration. Well, let me not say it was a great game. I wasn't
wonderful.
I wasn't just angry the entire time. It was competitive. You know, and
I'm with you. I hate Tottenham, so I wanted to see. I was actively rooting for Everton.
Okay, cool.
Even on our group text.
That's right.
The poor, what is that? Brad Hagen, I believe it is.
Brad Hagen, yeah.
Poor guy. Yeah. He simply put hashtag COYS, which is come on, you Spurs or Spuds, as I would like to say. And I went right after him. And Arsenal wasn't even playing. There was no reason for me to do it.
Yeah, but you know that passion is always present. Even in our text message groups, we do not.
Sounds, once again, passive aggressive way of saying it.
Yeah. But you know what? It was a good match.
Incredible.
They drew this, you know, a tale of two halves because the first half, Tottenham was completely dominant.
I mean, you couldn't get out of your own half.
And then
besides
second half,
the one goal, which was a beautiful, beautiful long ball.
And Lennon,
Aaron Lennon, the former Tottenham spud.
That's right. He did not celebrate, which I did not appreciate.
I mean, he kind of enjoyed it though, because how do you hit that strike and not just go, did y'all see that? I'd be like, did everyone? Is my mama there? You know, I would be, everyone would want to see that if I hit that. But I will say what I love most about that is, I think for me, as an unbiased fan, someone who watches the sport, when I see Lukaku, I think to myself, he struggles with deciding, do I do it all myself or do I lay it off? And what I'm starting to see, what I saw a little bit when he was paired with Kone, and they were both a little bit further forward. Kone in this match seemed like he was very lost. He wasn't sure what to do. Should I stay further behind and track back?
I think he's still kind of just like his mind is still lost in the hat trick he had.
He's still that match though.
cheering,
still love that celebration.
Guys, you remember when I?
Yeah, that was so great, right? And they're like, get back on.
Get the defense now. Yeah,
stop talking to the reporters. What? It's not even halftime. I think one of the things about Kone is, like, if he's able to be further forward, he's a danger for, because Lukaku can strike at any moment and it's going to be on frame. So you need to, if you're a defender, you need to get close to him. You need to crowd him, right?
Yeah.
But what that means is a second defender is probably close by. You can lay it off to someone like a Kone or Naismith, who I hear is being sold. They mentioned that during the match.
Yeah, that is a possibility.
So, I mean,
he hasn't played much. Yeah, he's also been dealing with injury and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, look, I mean, you're not going to start him over a De La Feu, but a great player.
Yeah.
You know, someone like a Lukaku drags defenders closer to him, gives everyone more space. And then you wonder to yourself, is he smart enough to be able to decide where to keep it or where to lay it off? And that was the perfect instance for him to lay it off. And boy, did that work out. If you notice, the defenders dragged way far away from Lennon.
Yeah.
No one in the world expected Lennon to strike. I was expecting, like everyone else, for Lukaku to peel off of his defender and to get somewhat of a half-second shot off and maybe have it be on frame and close to a goal.
Well, Lukaku does not peel off anybody. He pushes them out of the way.
He is a brick wall with legs. He reminds me a lot of Giroud in the sense that, you know, Giroud is big and strong and doesn't necessarily need to be fancy. You know, sure, Lukaku's like, I'm going to run straight. I know you're there.
He's strong, but he, you know, he never wants to like mess up his hair.
Giroud, I don't think anything can mess up that man's hair. He is one gorgeous man. Hair is always in the perfect place. But what I was saying is, like, Lukaku perfectly laid it off to Lennon, but that was like literally the only shining moment you had. Everton fans, y'all live on two modes. Pre De La Feu being in the pitch and post De La Feu, because what a completely different game.
He's our Ozil.
He really is.
He's getting there, but he doesn't have the sort of point guard-esque control of the game.
Right.
Like
he's not
Ozil
a pitch
does.
Captain.
Yeah,
right.
And he also doesn't play the same position.
Right.
But I like when he's there. I do think when defensively, I don't think he's the most reliable.
No, nowhere near it. Nowhere near it. But so, you got a guy like Leighton Baines on the squad that can run up and down. I mean, it sucks for everyone else to have to cover more ground. But
Everton, their problems are, I would say, more defensive, and it's in the middle. You know, Gareth Barry, Ross Barkley, James McCarthy. They're missing just a force that central defensive midfielder that can really like control the game. Because look at the last
week, you do need someone to cover that back four, because your back four is like hodgepodge, man.
Yeah,
I mean, they're not great.
And Stones is good.
Stones is the only, I would say that's the only Premier League level defender you have besides Leighton Baines.
All right, look, I don't want to throw this microphone at you.
Now we're getting a gravelly out of him. Here we go.
Jagielka is not playing. There's issues.
Of course.
But look, last week they gave up four goals against Stoke, and that was the big issue. So clearly There's been improvement. He only gave up one goal. That Dele Alli goal was absolutely beautiful.
I mean, it's like anything you can do, I can do better. I mean, that was like, oh, you long ball and then strike? Watch what we can do. No, Dele, and by the way, as soon as that goal went in, people started typing up, should he be starting for England? Like, as soon as that goal went in.
It was a great goal.
You tip your hat to both of those goals. Whatever. I mean, Roberto Martinez and Pochettino were just like, all right, what are you going to do?
Right? Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that could have very easily been 0-0, you know?
Very much. In that instance, there's not much you could do, but they only gave up one goal, which is great. Finally, you know, Tim Howard, there's not much he could do. I think it was sort of, he was responding like with the Shaqiri goal. He kind of didn't really expect the shot that quickly.
Right.
And because it's Dele Alli, you know, whatever. I mean, he's good, but we don't expect that, you know, just out of nowhere. And look, Tim Howard had a good game. I'm happy about that. So I didn't leave.
He scares me a little bit. He scare you at all as an Everton fan?
You notice
he sarcastically clapped back to the fans when he caught the someone headed him back the ball, like a high header.
Okay.
And you know the rules. You can't pick up a ball that's kicked to you, but you can if it's headed towards you.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's technically not a back pass. So he caught one, and apparently last match he had some trouble with that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a little skittish. So this one he caught, and the fans behind goal were like, hey, all right. And they clapped at him. And he turned around and sarcastically clapped back to them.
Okay.
Which tells me your head's not in the game. That to me...
Maybe.
That mean to me was... To Everton fans, it's a funny back and forth. To me, I was like, you're not starting next match.
Tim Howard also has, like, he's known to have Tourette's.
Yeah.
His mind is, he, you know, it might have been like a Tourette's thing where he's just like responding. Yeah. He couldn't control.
Yeah. I don't think you understand Tourette's. I'm going to go on record and say, you don't have a strong grasp of
Tourette's. No, but Tourette's is not always vocal.
I get that it's not vocal.
It could be a response, but you know, maybe he was just like,
it's more like twitches. It's not physically.
Look, I don't
First of all, it's not poignantly sarcastic. If that's true, then I wish I had that.
Maybe he's like, he has a sarcastic Tourette's.
Yeah. Oh, you cook this dinner. You know, it's everything.
Sorry, honey, it's my Tourette's.
Yeah, I swear to God. Oh, no, you definitely don't look fat in that dress. No, it was the Tourette's. Yeah, no, you look great. I'm saying you look great. Definitely the Tourette's. 100% the sarcastic Tourette's.
Oh, Timmy.
Yeah. Oh, Timmy. You, that's Tourette's. We got to get a pill for that. Here we are just shitting on Tourette's. Anyway.
No, sarcastic Tourette's. We don't support.
Open. Yeah, no. Right. Yeah. No. Sarcastic Tourette's are not allowed. Not in our house. You know, it told me he wasn't there. You know, if that was Petr Cech, I'd be like, what are you doing?
Okay.
PD, focus on what's happening in front of you. Forget what the fans are singing and chanting. Unless it's your name, which would make me cry.
Yeah.
If 60,000 people
also
chanted my name.
Put the damn E in your name. There's another E, Peter.
Yeah. Peter. Come on, Peter. We know who you are. Also, you know who you are.
What's this about?
Yeah, just anglicize everything. Come on, you're now Peter Chexworth, okay? So that's your name now. Take the helmet off.
Peter Chexworth.
Yeah. Peter Chestershire, okay? Peter Chestershire. There's actually a really funny guy who turns all the Arsenal players. I think it's called like Gents of Arsenal, something like that.
Okay.
It's on Twitter. And he takes all their photos and he makes them into old. So he puts like the curly mustaches and like the paperboy hats on them.
Okay.
He turns them all into like original players like from the 1800s.
Yeah, right.
And he changes all their names. Like Marouane Chamakh, who was on the team. It was like Nightingale, like Charmington. You know, it was like he turns everything in. And then he posts like if they had a good game or if they had like an outstanding match or something, he'll post the photo. Like some of them will be like Jack Wilshere, be like Sir Jack Wilshere, you know, like he turns them all into old. Really funny. No one does that for Petr Cech.
Okay. Yeah. It's a way
to put this thing grinding to a halt, Alexis.
It's a little tough to like explain somebody else's Twitter feed to you.
Oh, is it? I think you have the sarcastic Tourette's all of a sudden.
That's what it is. Yeah. Everybody knows that. I've had that for years.
Yeah, I've had it for years. Your girlfriend's listening right now going, uh-huh. Everton, tough to watch. Tough to watch if you're you.
They should have. I don't know if they should have won. They should have won the match against Stoke. But, you know, I'm more upset about that one. But a great weekend overall.
Arsenal still at the top, baby.
Arsenal still at the top.
Sorry, John Hudson, Newcastle
Leicester
down.
Leicester City drew against Bournemouth. They had the opportunity to go top of the table, but Riyad Mahrez missing the penalty.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes to show that if you believe in a God, he's an Arsenal fan. he's taken 10 years off. Well, I shouldn't say that. We won 2 FA Cups in a row. But yeah, I mean, look, guys like Riyad Mahrez, guys like Vardy, even though now he's, you know, he's going into surgery. He's getting his groin repaired because Nick Dubé. that's the joke I would make. guy like Vardy is getting surgery. Apparently, he's only going to be out. He's only going to miss an FA Cup match. So, you know, not that big of a deal. But, and I believe it's against Tottenham that he's missing, if I'm not completely mistaken. But what, you know, what's going to start happening now is the hype is starting to catch up to them. Media reports about January transfers are going to start coming out. Yeah. Now's where we see how they can handle the real pressure. Because last year they were almost relegated from the championship and they went on this incredible rise.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally were going to be in League One, you know, at the end of last year. And here they are, you know, top of the league in the Premier League.
To their credit, you know, the last few weeks they haven't been the same.
Yeah,
right?
No, and players that are mediocre that have been playing out of their skin are starting to come back to earth a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and part of it is defenders, you know, and teams watching more tape and understanding how to play them. So a lot of different things have been happening.
To their credit, they should have won that match.
An Arsenal fan, glad they did.
Vardy hit the post on a very great opportunity. It was so close.
Speaking of hitting the post, Tottenham hit the post, 38 times in the first half?
That's fine.
That Harry Kane goal, the one where it bounces off the post and goes across the face of goal.
That's unbelievable.
Really happy to see him already celebrating a goal and then have to stop. I'm glad the camera caught him going, what? That didn't go in?
Vardy hit the post.
Yeah.
And Mahrez, he did that stutter step with taking that penalty, and it looked like I don't know the name of the goalie for Bournemouth, but he read it perfectly.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like gambling and poker. It's like, you know what the highest odds are based on what they've done in the past, and it's like simple things like, oh, if you see him touch his nose, that means he's going this way, or
sure,
if he stares at one place, one direction last.
It's like a pitcher calling his pitches.
Yeah. There's always something about the way it's not the thing you practice the most. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure you practice, but the ball right in front. There's been some talk of going back to more of a shootout style. Remember the old MLS or the NASL shootouts?
Like kick the ball, you know, you
move forward, you bring the ball forward. Yeah. As opposed to kicking right off the spot. There's been talk about doing that for penalties. That's the one cool thing about soccer, is that they will change the rules. They're not so beholden to what. First of all, there's only 17 rules, so it's not. I mean, the offside rules.
Unlike baseball, where they're stuck on, they can't like.
Yeah, the idea of moving like the pitcher's mound forward would kill. People be like, oh, what's that gonna mean?
Yeah.
For Satchel Paige.
Oh, because the records are more important than anything. Well, even the rule about running into the catcher. How difficult was it just to change that rule where catchers were literally breaking bones.
These guys are coming out in traction, in full traction. And they're like, arm is up, you know, that bar holding up your arm.
Yeah.
You guys are like, could you please change the rule? And there's like an old guy holding a newspaper with pencil marks going, no.
No, we can't.
No, we can't.
Because Babe Ruth's corpse is going to wake up.
Carl Fisk is going to punch you right in your face. And I hope so.
Yeah. It's good that there's a bit more fluidity within,
within the game. Yeah, it seems like soccer's completely willing to change.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Americans invented the three substitutes. It used to be, it was like Oregon Trail. You started with your 11
until you die,
and if you went down,
of pneumonia,
you've given up, and you've lost for your team. You're like, but I broke my leg, and you're complaining about it, and you're not getting up, and that's what's important. That's kind of how the game was back then.
That's
you know,
crazy.
You started with your 11. You better pick guys with good bones.
Yeah.
Pick some guys with good.
Like, oh, I have dysentery. Like, you better. You're playing goalie now.
Yeah, give them some water or beer, whatever we have available. If you have dysentery, you're now the manager. I'm going in. So like substitutes is something Americans invented. I know Brits don't want to hear that. Including this was the accent you gave us. They also get upset about that. But anyway.
Final game I wanted to cover. Manchester United 2-1 to Swansea.
And everyone saw a unicorn during the match.
It was a miracle. There was a goal at Old Trafford.
Yeah. Oh! I'm sorry to wake you United fans up. I hope you guys didn't get woken up by the sound of Rooney celebrating a goal. Wow, Rooney scored.
Well, how beautiful. To get out of a drought, that's the prettiest way to do it.
I don't know. We haven't talked about this. I don't know if you heard this number. Of all the teams in England, right? I believe it's 90, 95 or 92 teams in total. Of all of those, United was considered the most boring because they scored the least at home.
Wow.
Of all of them.
Well, you know what? That says a lot because they don't score much, but
they scored less than like...
Imagine... All I'm saying is...
All the teams Jamie Vardy played for back in the day.
Imagine where they would be if somebody read that fax at Real Madrid. De Gea is the reason they were even at... They're fifth, fourth, whatever. He is... Solely the only reason why they're still... He's made just miraculous saves.
Yeah, he is standing on his head all season long.
So, yeah, because they're not doing it on the other end.
No. Nothing's happening on the other side. They're making Anthony Martial look good. And let me be honest, I think he's going to be great.
I think he's going to be great,
too. But he's nowhere near the player. I mean, he's looked their only option.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I remember when, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain first came on and that wonderful match he played against United. He looked strong. He looked confident. He would go after defenders. And we were like, this is the guy we need. This is great. You know, Anthony Martial, to me, is more of that style of player where, you know, you're watching him and you're like, wow, he's got a lot of confidence. He's willing to go after players. He's willing to, you know, stick his nose where it doesn't belong, so to speak, which sounds weird. But, you know, he doesn't have all of the experience just yet. That's not the guy you lean on. You know, you need someone like a Rooney.
And it's wild for someone who is 19 years old to be as confident as he already is.
Oh, man.
That header.
It's like he's wearing sunglasses on the pitch. Come on, buddy.
You know, that goal, you know, against Wanty, you know, he wanted after he celebrated it because obviously nobody's scoring. So he's like, it's a weight off everybody's shoulders.
Yeah.
But the fact that it was a great header and he struck it down.
Which is clinical.
Yeah.
What you're supposed to do.
And it's just strange that the person that we're relying on is 19 at Manchester.
Yeah, that's not the person you want.
Which is, you would hope this.
That's what happens in League One or the Championship. That's not what happens.
Yeah.
At United at Old Trafford, you know, and the fact that we both freaked out that a goal was scored at Old Trafford means they're not having that great of a year, and which leads to, you know, Louis van Gaal being a little passive aggressive.
Oh man. I love it.
He's like, well, maybe I'm not going to be here tomorrow. Okay, I don't know.
Every press conference is just the last few weeks has been like, you need to ask Sir Alex. I don't even know if I'm going
to
be.
You talk to him. You seem to have a great relationship with him. I think he's got super sarcastic Tourette's.
LVG is like a real housewife all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah. Go tell your father. That din is done. He's standing next to you. You tell him because I'm not talking
I'm not
to him.
Talking.
He knows why. He knows why. I don't know what. Yeah. I mean, and it's Mourinho is the reason they're talking because apparently he said he's already frustrated at the negotiations. And, you know, it's not even supposed there's still a manager
there's
there.
There's still a manager. Who
You're
is,
not supposed to be talking about
who
this.
Is very much feeling that shade of Mourinho on him.
Yeah. The real house managers of United. He's already getting shade throwing them. This is love and hip-hop.
Yeah.
Love and football.
I mean, obviously, for anybody in any, like, having any job and being in that position, we're like, hey, you mess up one more time.
Yeah, you're out of here.
You're gone. So, you know.
He just had a bad yearly review. He knows things are tough coming up.
When Swansea tied the match, he must have felt like,
come on,
this is my job, guys. You want me to lose my job?
Wouldn't it be great if he just like loosened his tie and just sat down and started eating a hot dog or something? He was like, come on, we know which way the boat's going. It's going straight down, baby. He's like, it's like the Titanic. Enjoy it on the way down.
And then Rooney with the, I mean, miracle. Yeah. I mean, not miracle.
And
ball.
Let's be honest, that back heel, he's had better back heels that almost didn't go in.
Yeah.
He hit it incorrectly. Luckily, it bounced in.
It was.
But the real United moment would be if he back heeled and it got stopped or if it didn't go in. You know, like, I was like, turn around and kick it. Just turn around and kick it as hard as you can. What are you doing to me?
It was great. I mean, you, watching it, you have to watch it. You can only really see it in slow motion.
Yeah.
Because you really can't see what happened. But when you see it at game speed, that was insane that he even had the wherewithal to take that kind of shot. It was coming so fast.
Yeah, it's like his momentum was leaning forward.
Yeah.
So he had to move his other foot back. I mean, he put his body in position. In the only way he could have struggled without, you know, falling to the ground and hitting him with his hand. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that was it. That was it. Like, that was the only way he could have struck that ball, and it went in. And when it went in, his eyes lit up.
The happiest man.
Yeah, like, probably his first goal ever, which unfortunately was against Arsenal, and I recall it back when he played for Everton. But, like, his eyes were the same, just as big.
I saw that. I watched the Rooney documentary.
Oh, that's right.
And I saw...
You saw it.
I saw
you
that
You certainly
goal.
Didn't hear it, right? You had a tough time with that Scouser accent.
That was... It was a... Very interesting documentary. Definitely
made. Is it on Netflix?
I saw it on NBCSN. They had it on there. I just DVR'd it. But it was... it really made me connect with Wayne Rooney, like, and how important he was to England. And also taught me... You know, because there is a lot of... It's very divisive in England because you support your club. And that is... That for life, and you hate the rival or whatever.
Yeah, you don't like anyone else.
You don't like, but when the only thing that really unites them is the England national team,
their hatred of their own national team,
basically,
really, they do not have a lot
the
to root for.
Disappointment, yeah. But at least they can share that disappointment together.
I mean, United States men's national team hasn't won anything besides like gold cups and CONCACAF cups, uh-huh. But we really haven't won anything, and we have this overwhelming confidence and love of our national team. England's national team, there is every. I told you I went to the Uruguay versus England, and I was at an England bar wearing a Uruguay jersey celebrating for Uruguay. Wasn't very safe. I got a lot of elbows. but the feeling is, as soon as a team scores against them, like, yeah, of course. Of course, that's exactly what's supposed to happen. And it's like this, you can never be happy for what's happening if you're an England fan.
But it did show that Rooney...
That's where they unite.
Yeah, with Rooney, they really... That's like... He is England's
Lions.
Boy. Yeah. I mean, they really do love him, and that's... You know, as much as other fans of the supporters of other clubs might hate Manchester United,
and they hate Rooney when he wears the red and the Red Devils shirt, love him when he wears the three lines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was cool to see. And yeah, he's like he's a dude. He's a dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
He's a bro.
Yeah. I couldn't understand a word he said.
Yeah.
very difficult. Sort of. You know. Is it English? Who knows?
Was he speaking in tongues? Possibly.
But I was watching with my girlfriend, and there were moments. I mean, where you know, like any documentary, you put the camera in front of the person, they talk right into it.
You're like, is there a closed caption on this thing?
they really desperately.
Yeah.
It was. You didn't understand.
What's it called in a movie when there's the words at the bottom?
Subtitles.
I always forget that. I know subscript for some reason is what comes to mind. Sure. I know that's wrong, but you're like, you hope there's subtitles, and it's funny that sometimes like that Honey Boo Boo show had subtitles.
That's right.
And people,
they can do it for Honey Boo Boo.
I've met people in Europe or in Australia that have gotten that show, and they're like, oh, they added subtitles for us. I'm like, no, they added subtitles for us too. I don't know what the hell they're saying, you know. Same thing for like, you know, when people from Newcastle speak, that's not the same. You're not, this can't, both of what we're doing cannot be rooted in the same language. It can't be, you know? And then people think we're saying things incorrectly. We pronounce our consonants and vowels.
Yeah, you can hear what, you can hear us.
Yeah.
You know, it's not these mangled letters.
Yeah. We don't talk with marbles in our mouth. And, you know, if Scottish is even easier to understand than some Liverpool, you know, accents. Very tough. So they could say whatever they want and get away with it. So look, guys, a lot of fun stuff happening there. A lot of fun stuff happening in the MLS as well. So stick around for our third segment. We'll be right back after this. We'll talk a little bit about some really big European name, major name, and he's a Lion. That's the only hint I'll give you. He may be moving to quite possibly the most boring place on earth. We'll talk about it when we get back. Sound good?
Cleverly. Lukaku, Lennon coming in. A bit of smash and grab here for Everton. A long ball up to Lukaku. Certainly helped. And Lennon then did the trick. That's exactly what I've been talking about. A bit of aggression really from Leighton Baines starts everything off. And it's not a long ball, it's a long pass. Cleverly is clearly looking to play this to Lukaku, who's big and strong, appreciates where Lennon is. I'll tell you what, he's hardly had a touch, Aaron Lennon. I'll tell you what, when you do have a touch, make it effective. And on the half volley, this is a sweet, sweet finish.
Welcome back, guys. Why is that? That's not funny.
Welcome back. This is Fireside Chats with Christian Polanco.
This is the Cooligans on NPR.
Yeah.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be a great show.
Yeah.
Just about, you know.
No one yell.
Put a little marshmallow in your cocoa. Let's get ready to talk some MLS.
Man, you're a custom built for that. You know, everyone who thinks MLS is boring, you're matching that with your tone. And it's not, because some really exciting things are about to happen.
Well, there is a strong rumor.
Right.
I don't even know if it's a rumor at this point.
I mean, it's open negotiations.
There are reports, yes.
Yeah, I mean, even the owner of the club is teasing it on Twitter, which we shared on our Columbus Cooligans Twitter. So
you give it away, Alexis.
Sorry.
So there is news that Radamel Falcao,
yes,
is possibly
León.
Coming to Columbus Crew of the Major League Soccer.
Yeah, so if you trace back his playing career, we'll start with Atletico Madrid. So he was at Madrid. From Madrid, he went to Monaco. Monaco, right? Big famous gambling. No one pays taxes.
Also, the Colombian international.
Proud, you know, but I think if we're talking about major cities, we're going Madrid. We're going Monaco.
Yep.
Been playing at Chelsea, right? So he's been loaned out to London.
Correct.
Major city in the world. So you went Madrid, Monaco, London, and now you're thinking about going to Columbus, Ohio.
Man, he must be running low on frequent flyer miles.
Yeah, he's what's the only place you can send me to? And what's there, a college? All right, let's give it a go.
Two colleges? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you're Kai Kamara, anything's better than Sierra Leone. Okay. You know, especially what he went through as a child.
Yes, yes.
So Columbus, Ohio. Hey, look, if you're Federico Higuain, he says he loves it.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep your door open, right? The news media, and you don't have the barra bravas that are bringing machetes to your front door if you don't play well, right? So he loves it. He loves it.
Yeah.
If you're Radamel Falcao, what is going through your mind when you land at what I would assume is Columbus, Ohio International Airport? I don't know the name of the airport.
I don't know the name of it.
It's probably named after Bob, and everyone knows Bob. I mean, look, it's not a no city, right? But I mean, on the scale of 1 to 10, it's Columbus, Ohio.
See, well, this is how I feel about
smallest market in the Major League.
A small market, but a successful team. Obviously,
very successful team.
I made it to the MLS Cup final.
An exciting team to watch. And it would be a great part of it as well. I don't want people to think I'm crabbing on the team, just the city.
I think it's important that the big stars are not solely in the big market.
Yeah.
So, obviously, some players have to go to the middle of the country. Some players have to play in Vancouver and Colorado and stuff like that.
You're saying, like, some babies aren't here to, can't live, all right? If you're allergic to peanuts, you're going to die. That's kind of how you say.
No, I'm not, you know.
This is your punishment. You're going. Obviously, some people have to go to Ohio.
We know where the big markets are.
Yeah, we all know.
You know, like, even Kevin Durant, you know, plays for Oklahoma City.
Right.
Not the biggest market.
Tiny market.
But one of the better teams in the NBA.
Yeah, so, and he found a way to market himself, so it's not impossible. I just think it's funny when you lay out the cities he's been to in the last few years.
Yes.
That he may end up. And look,
Alexis, I don't want to make it seem like I don't think it's funny. It is very funny.
Yeah.
But
you're defending it, and I respect you for it, because we need the counterpoint on this podcast.
You know,
you often are the, instead of an apology, why don't we just have Christian speak? So I respect the fact that you're here and doing that. But he's not the only one. There's some major news, something that I've been waiting for a few years at this point. And look, I didn't know who he was until, Jurgen Klinsmann put him on the men's national team, because I don't follow college soccer. I'm sorry. I care about it around the super draft. But Jordan Morris, who's played really well for the men's national team, not great, not perfect.
Yeah.
But really well.
He scored a couple goals.
Yeah, he scored some goals. He's obviously got a nose for the goal. Look, why has he been in college and been on the men's national team still? Okay. He chose to go back to Stanford one more year. As far as I'm concerned, if I'm the men's national team coach, I'm saying, you obviously don't have the passion for this. I'm beating him up for this verbally and mentally, because you don't choose to go back to college. You go become a pro. There's no one else in the college that has the bag with the men's national team badge on it, okay? Mm-hmm. Unless they stole it from someone else or were giving it as a gift. You're the only one walking around with a national team bag at college. Go be a pro, okay? So if you told me a year ago that Seattle Sounders, you're one of their homegrown talents, if you told me you're going to sign a homegrown deal a year ago, I'm all for it. Now you spend another year in college, you continue to play for the men's national team, and now you're going to go sign for the MLS, and I love the MLS, you know that. But if your talent is at this level and you have overtures from Europe, you go to Europe. Not saying that you could always come back to MLS. MLS is going to give you the biggest homegrown contract you can have. If you told me you're going to go to a team where you're not going to get a chance to start and it's going to limit your minutes, fine. But you know what's going to happen at Seattle? You're not starting over Clint Dempsey. You're not starting over Obafemi Martins. You're going to sit on the bench and make a lot of money. Money that if you're Seattle, you could put somewhere else. And I know homegrown players don't affect the cap as much, but you could put that money into something else. Go sign yourself another DP, okay? Let this guy become a man in Europe, and if he can't hack it, or if he decides he wants to come back home, you still have the rights to him, and you could sign him then. If you're a fan of the United States men's national team, even if you love the Seattle Sounders, you have to agree with me, because this is the only thing that makes sense. You do not turn down a chance to go to Europe. And it's not like he's going to play, you know, for, you know, a team in Iceland. He's not going to go play for a team, you know, a second division team in Belgium, okay? He's going to Werder Bremen. Right now is the one they're talking about. He's actually going to go do a training stint. Some people were saying the deal was done already with Seattle. Now all of a sudden he's doing training stint. I get it. But that's where you go. Werder Bremen, big team. Aaron Johansson is there, okay? Mm-hmm. Big team. That you're going to get a seasoning that you're not going to get anywhere else. You're going to be a superstar when you walk into Seattle. You're going to be a big name. You're going to be a draw. You're going to have sunglasses on. You know, people are going to want your autograph. I don't know why sunglasses are a big deal in this podcast for me today. I think it's because Cristiano Ronaldo wore during that Heat game while hugging two models. Take their glasses off, baby. But, you know, you're a big deal. Over there, you're nobody, and you've got to bust your ass and get to the point where you can start. If you're Jurgen Klinsmann, and this is everything you've preached since you've been here, you tell that young man, go work hard. And go become a player that can refine himself, because he looks like he has the skill to be a top, top talent. And if you're afraid of what I'm saying, look at what's happened to Jozy Altidore since he's been at Toronto FC. He's allowed himself to become the man there in his head when he hasn't been playing well, and he hasn't been playing well for the men's national team. All right, but when he was at AZ Alkmaar, which was a team that I probably wouldn't have been excited about him going. He was scoring, what, 31 goals in a season? He looked amazing when he put on the men's national team shirt. Now, all of a sudden, he's back at Toronto, and life's a little easier for him because he's a men's national team player, and his head's a little bigger on those ads than everyone else's, right? Now, all of a sudden, he's limited. Look at someone like, and I'm sorry that I'm going on this rant, someone like a Jordan Morris. Go be a man. Go work. And I'm not saying you're not a man if you're in the MLS, but you'll be the man. Over there, you have to bust your ass to get in that first 11. Go bust your ass. Go prove that you didn't spend a year in college taking dancing classes or some other garbage just so you could spend time with your friends. Go. Go work hard. Well, prove you deserve to be on this men's national team.
I will never knock anybody for taking dancing classes.
I'm glad you found something to attach yourself to in that rant of mine.
That is why I'm going to defend his
right to dance.
Well, you know what? I'll say this. I don't... It's difficult to knock anybody for going to college. And
you,
I get
University of Phoenix. You can do whatever you want. I mean, you're a pro. This is the part that's stopping all of our development of our players. Is at 18 years old, we pull them out and we put them in the collegiate game. And I'm sorry if you guys are fans of the collegiate game. You could still watch the collegiate game. You're just going to get a lower level of player, because the top players should still be in the academies doing what FC Dallas is doing and practicing against the pros. That's what they should be doing. And they should be starting earlier. And that's what the MLS is for, is to get these young kids in there starting to play against the pros and learning the game at a faster speed. And playing against men who are playing for their mortgages, not against these other college kids playing 10 games a season. I know they have a spring league as well. Fine. You're just not getting anywhere near the touches that 8-year-olds are getting, you know, playing for Ajax. All right. You're not getting those touches. And this is why we haven't developed a superstar player yet. And I know we're close. We got Letterman, who was at Barcelona, who unfortunately had to come back to the U.S. because Barcelona apparently very shady behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have other players like the guy Pulisic. You've got some other amazing players that Pulisic is just all of a sudden he's starting to train with the first team again. This is amazing. You're at Borussia Dortmund. That's a big club. We can all agree that's a great club. That's where we need to have our players at. All right, we shouldn't be talking about, oh, we should sign them as DPs and let them be superstars. Go bust your ass somewhere and prove that you deserve to be there.
You're not wrong.
Thank you.
You're not wrong.
Can we end the podcast there? Is that possible?
I get where you're coming from. You know what? It is the American philosophy over how we handle our athletes is, you know, the college game is very, you know, look, whether somebody will say it's important or not is not really relevant.
Right.
It makes people a lot of money, so they make it important,
yeah.
Right? So, look, he went back to Louisville. He won a championship.
Yeah.
You know, for his school. There is...
Stanford.
For Stanford. Yeah. So, I get the... Outside of the soccer reasons, I could understand somebody going back to school.
I would never tell someone, get out of college. What are you doing?
You're wasting your time. Books?
Yeah.
Get that damn book. I slap his book out of the hand.
What are you doing on an iPad? You better be playing games. You better not have to see you reading.
You better be playing FIFA.
Yeah. Get your ass to a factory in Europe.
So, like, on that emotion, like, on a, sensitive, being sensitive to his interest in growing as a man, growing as a
right.
as a educated person.
Yeah.
I can't necessarily be mad at that.
No.
But you're very right. You know, we've seen the model that works.
Yes, and it's not coddling.
Exactly.
And that's what we're doing. Why are you, I mean, if you're Jurgen Klinsmann, you're the one who found him. You're the one who put him in the first 11. You're the one who put him on the men's senior national team. Zell Alem, which is, you know, an academy player for Arsenal, an American playing for Arsenal, okay? Mm-hmm. Big club, whether you love him or hate him, you know where I stand. We can all agree, really big club, okay? Yeah, yeah. He's on their academy. He looks great in their preseason. What's he doing? He's playing for the U-20 and the U-23s, okay? He's not starting. What is Jordan Morris doing? He's starting. He's that good. Then you should not be playing club football for a college. You should not be on Stanford. You did before you got, as soon as you get to the men's national team, there's teams that are lining up. There's clubs all over the world that were lining up for a player like this. You go. And if you know what happens, if you're bad at it, you can always come home. You can come back to Seattle. And you know what? You may be better off at Seattle than Werder Bremen, but you'll never know. You'll always have that question. Look at someone like Eric Winalda and all these players that had all these questions about Europe. And I know Winalda played out there, and there's other players. You know, Landon Donovan, until he went to Everton, kind of had that bug on his shoulder. Everyone, whenever they brought up Landon Donovan, they said, yeah, but what about Europe? And then when he went to Everton, he looked great at Everton. And I think, as far as I'm concerned, he probably should have stayed out there, but he felt more comfortable being home. Fine. You can always come back to Seattle. Go. It's like, give yourself some perspective and experience you're not going to get. Why do you need to be the big man? Why you got to be big man on campus?
I'll say this. I think it's, there's some, you can commend him a little bit. I'm not you, because you will not.
No.
But I would commend him a little bit for taking that risk. Because I think the this doesn't happen often.
What risk?
That the homegrown star.
What risk?
That being the homegrown, being the man here and having your career here and being marketable, that doesn't really happen for, you know, male soccer stars and that choose to not go to Europe. You know what? Most likely he'll probably go to Europe, like, at some point. I'm not sure.
What do you mean at some point? Well, then why not do it earlier?
I agree.
By the way, you know what risk? You didn't tell me what risk, but I'll tell you what risk. It's the risk of the entire national team. You're risking every yes. American outlaw, every person who's ever put on a Stars and Stripes shirt and went to one of these matches, that's who you're risking it for. By staying at home and giving yourself a safe space. I want to be in a bubble. I'm Jordan Morris.
I don't see it
get
that way.
Get your ass to Europe and bust. Imagine he becomes a superstar player in Europe. Imagine we have, you know, someone at the level of a Falcao a few years ago, or you know, someone like who's tearing up the scene right now, like a Vardy. Imagine we get that on a men's national team. What will happen to our men's national team? The whole picture changes. Everything changes. But he wants to stay home and not challenge himself. You want to stay in college? You can finish college after you retire. And most soccer players retire in their mid-30s. You're close to your mid-30s. I'm getting there as well. All right, next year, I'm going to be 35. If you ask me to go back to college now, I probably wouldn't want to, but it's not that big of a change as when I was 20. It's not like out of this realm. I got, how do you read these books? I'm not 75. You can go do that. You can go back. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. Complete it in the off season. All right, go to university. You go to one of these online colleges. Again, University of Phoenix. Sponsor the podcast because I brought you up six times already. Or Sunglass Hut. One of you guys should really be lining up. What are you doing staying in college? And if you're Jurgen Klinsmann, you tell him you're disappointed. And you know what? If he used that to be able to grind in him the fact that he has to go to Europe. And I'm not saying Europe is going to be just better than MLS across the board. I think in a few years that's going to change and we're going to want these players to come to the MLS. But right now he needs to challenge himself at a higher level and that's it.
What I think is beneficial to him staying is the growth of not his own growth, because obviously we know he can get way more experience in Europe. But imagine
the growth of the league.
I think if we have our own star, our own LeBron, let's say LeBron stayed, he got drafted by Cleveland, he became the representative of Cleveland. He is Cleveland. If we can have a player like that on, you know, represent our national team, but be American, stay here, never left, and be a star. Yeah, obviously he won't get the same exact experience, and that would affect the men's national team without a doubt. But I also don't think Jordan Morris is going to be what makes or breaks the men's national team.
I think he has the chance to be that because he's up front, and that's where we've always had a problem building superstars up front. But look, I will say this.
The issue with the men's national team.
If he stays here, look at Landon Donovan. Landon Donovan is great to us. You bring him up to a Brit or to anyone else, unless they're a fan of Everton, they laugh. They're like, oh, yeah, he was great in the MLS. And look, I watched the MLS when he was great in the MLS. It wasn't that great of a league, okay? He was tearing up not that great of a league. I mean, and it wasn't like one of these things where now it seems like every club has like a strong footing and it's a very tough league where there's no breaks, all right? There's no weeks off here. It was very different in the early and mid-90s. Very different. Very different. It was very tough to watch sometimes.
Sure.
He did himself no favors by being the best in MLS. And I'm sorry, I know here's what the MLS should be doing right now is creating stars that go to Europe. Like we should be a football factory as far as academies, creating these big name stars that we could sell for big money and that come back and play on our national team. And where our excitement will come is when we start to get so big and we build so many of these types of players that they decide not to move elsewhere because our league is that good. And that's how it will change. But right now, if Jordan Morris stayed in the MLS, became an amazing player in the MLS, everyone's going to say, yeah, but why didn't he try in Europe? He couldn't do it in Europe. He couldn't do it against the likes of Real Madrid. He couldn't do it against the likes of Barca. He couldn't do it against Dortmund. He couldn't do it against Bayern. He couldn't do it against Arsenal. He couldn't do it. So he stayed and he played in the MLS. I love the MLS. You know I love the MLS. I'm a season ticket holder of the MLS. Big supporter of the MLS. We should all know where it stands right now. And while I believe it will change later, right now it is not the place you go when you are the big man on campus and you're coming off of a major college championship and you're a national team player while in college, one of the first in the last decade. When you're that, you go somewhere big. You take that chance and put yourself in the Champions League. Score a bunch of goals in the Champions League and hoist that cup. And you know what you could do? You could walk into Seattle and make as much money as you possibly want. You'll be the biggest DP signing in history. But right now, to sit there and be a homegrown player. Now, here's the thing. Let's say he goes to Werder Bremen. Werder Bremen decides they don't want to sign him off that training. I got no problem with you going to Seattle. You know, I'm not telling you to go sign for a League Two team in England and work your way up. I'm not saying that.
Yeah, you know what? After hearing this, what I hear is some like, Reaganomics. Do you know? I hear trickle-down economics, meaning what it sounds like is go to Europe, go to that best league, and you can come back and be and then everybody will benefit from the experience you gained.
Of course.
I'm taking the more liberal Obamacare approach.
Right. I hate the fact that you're painting me as a Reagan right now.
But I'm saying,
well, I have fans and friends on both sides of the argument here. I do not consider myself a Reagan.
No, I know. Yeah. It's fine. That, you do food analogies, I do political ones.
Yeah. Oh boy. But, can we go back to talking about chicken parms?
So my idea is, we have this great player, and he is staying in the quote unquote lower league, and maybe the benefit won't be as immediate.
Yeah.
And yes, there will be naysayers, the Reagans of the world, but I think there's no right. I don't think there's a right thing to do. I think there's two choices he can make, but I think for the growth of the league, I want the MLS to be a strong league, and him staying means that.
Okay. And you know what? I think you're not wrong either. Mm-hmm. I think you're right if that were to happen. But I think the what would that would entail is a lot of things changing. We don't have a comparable to the Champions League. And what
I'm not making the claim that he'll be a better player if he stays.
Yeah, no, I don't think you are. But the thing that I want to say is right now he's playing FIFA on Pro. I'm saying put that bad boy on Legendary and let's see what you really got.
You are right.
Yeah, that's it. I think we're both right. I think we both have points, but I was louder, so I win.
Yeah, that's just it. That's just how it works. Mr. Trump, you got it.
Again, not a fan of the way you're painting me here. Might I add, I disagree with everything you've said so far, except what you say about Jordan Morris. So, guys, look, a lot of stuff happening in the MLS. It's going to be an exciting season. Looks like NYCFC's first match is going to be against the Chicago Fire in Chicago.
Yeah.
We're trying to see if we can get our asses out there.
Oh, we want
to
be there,
Some really exciting stuff coming from us in the next few weeks. If you're a fan of us, hopefully you really enjoy some of the stuff we got planned for you. Check out our website. We've got a bunch of news stuff coming on. We're going to post some awesome videos of some exciting goals and stuff. Check out soccercooligans.com if you have not. Soccercooligans.com if you haven't. And that's a quick way to get to our Twitter, our Facebook, our listen to our podcast, which you're doing right now. Tell your friends to subscribe on iTunes, like it on iTunes, because that's going to help us move up the ranks and other people are going to get a chance to hear it. But yeah, I mean, we got some exciting stuff. And obviously, I'm Alexis Guerreros.
I'm Christian Polanco.
Yeah, you have a show every Wednesday at Knockin' Boots over in Park Slope.
Park Slope, yeah.
And I've got
Two Boots Pizza.
Yeah, and I've got one every Sunday. I'm hosting a show for the guys over at Standing Room. It's an absolutely free show, no drink minimums, beautiful little tiny club, really intimate space. It only really seats about 40 people, so get in there. You could get those tickets at thestandingroom.com. So go ahead and just put your name in there and get yourself a bunch of free tickets, guys. Hopefully you enjoy that. Hopefully you enjoy the podcast. I'm Alexis Guerreros.
I'm Christian Polanco. Also, don't forget, we're still giving away that NYCFC versus Puerto Rico shirt. Go to soccercooligans.com.
It's on the front page.
Put yourself on the mailing list and you will be entered into the raffle to win the shirt. And there's the we have a growing fan base, but there's not many people who have put their names in, so you have a very good chance of winning.
Yeah, there's a great chance of winning. Just put your email in that bad boy, and we're going to be sending that email out soon.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, if you don't want to try to win the shirt but you want to buy one, you just want to go ahead and buy one, they're not going to be expensive, they're going to be $25. NYCFC will be selling those directly. We will not be selling it. We do not make any money. You do not buy them from us. How you attain that information is by putting your name in that email list. We will send out an email and connect you to the people over at NYCFC who are selling it, and they're using an NYCFC email, so you know it's legit. A bit of a problem, they couldn't sell it on their website, some of the marketing rules, but nonetheless, we want to make sure that our fans who are listening get a chance to see that and get that shirt. So even if you don't want to win it, you're going to get a chance to win it, but if you put your email in, even if you don't win, you still get a chance to buy it, and no one else is going to have it. It's a real collector's item. It's kind of cool. We have one, and we're giving it away to you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. We are the Cooligans.